reading today from the Hebrew Scripture is Genesis chapter 28:18-22. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil on the top of it. He called that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at the first. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone, which I have set up for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give one-tenth." Second reading is from the New Testament, or the Christian scripture. It's Luke 18:9-14. Parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. He also told this parable to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you this, that this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. Amen.
Friends, will you pray with me? Almighty God, your word is a treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Help us to hear the word, keep the word, and teach the word. Let us be clear, and let the message be as clear to us as if we were wearing it on our hands, writing it on our foreheads, and displaying it on our doorposts. Through Christ our Lord, amen. Well, welcome to the fourth of four and the final sermon dedicated to our stewardship campaign entitled "Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread." These sermon series, they seem to go by so fast for me. I don't know if it's the same for you. But really, we just began this at the beginning of November, and I am sorry to leave it behind this Sunday, but we will begin a new series next week. Next week is the beginning of Advent, which we will celebrate for 4 weeks, and the theme for our Advent series is, "Are You Ready?" So stay tuned. Friends, the last church that I served in South Africa was called the Bethel Congregational Church. And I learned just this last week that we also have a Bethel Church in Vermont. Has anybody ever been there? Yes, there is a Bethel Church in Vermont. I was thrilled to learn that. So, because I once ministered to a church named after Bethel, This scripture, which Bill read for us from Genesis, is one with which I am well familiar. First, it's important to note that Bethel means the house of God. So, Bethel Congregational Church is a really good name for a church. Jacob named the location in which he slept Bethel due to an intense dream he had that caused him to perceive that the location was a sort of conduit to heaven. In fact, Jacob even saw a stairway to heaven, of course, made famous by the group Led Zeppelin some decades ago. It says in the scriptures that angels were going up and down, most likely on, you know, I sort of envision like the escalators, similar to those in which we find in malls or in airports. And in this sort of wormhole of space and time, God communicated with Jacob. In this dream of Jacob's, God basically proclaimed, I am going to dump an epic amount of blessings on you and your descendants. I'm going to give you your daily bread for a long time. When Jacob awoke, he exclaimed, if God is going to be with me and watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me my daily bread to eat and clothes to wear, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. That's how we get Bethel. So, arguably, Jacob built the first house of worship, the first church, if you will. Then, finally, and perhaps most importantly, Jacob then pledged, quote, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Jacob pledged a tithe. Before we move quickly to the Christian scripture, I want us to notice two things about Jacob's tithe. One, it is pledged before he received any of the promised blessings. And two, the pledge to tithe was motivated by thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for what God provides. Now, I know there's a lot of debate about the tithe, and people rightly state that the tithe, a giving of a tenth of one's income to God, is a first or Old Testament law which we as followers of Jesus are no longer subject to obey. And this is correct, in my opinion. Our Christian scripture relates to us a parable about the Pharisee and the tax collector. So we move to the time of Jesus. The Pharisee is the upstanding religious one who prides himself on obeying God's commandments, among them fasting twice a week and giving a tenth of all that he receives. Now, one, notice that the tax collector is indeed thankful. He's got that one. But the Pharisee is only thankful for not being a criminal, or an adulterer, or a non-traitorous tax collector. He is not thankful for anything really that he has received. And two, notice that the Pharisee is sort of simply ticking the boxes, doing what he is expected to do out of obligation, not out of any serious gratitude or thanksgiving. So it is true that we are no longer bound by the law of the Hebrew Scriptures. Yet recall that Jacob did not give a tithe out of obligation, but rather thanksgiving. And notice that in the Second Testament, in the New Testament, the Pharisee mentioned by Jesus during Jesus' time does not give from a spirit of thanksgiving, but rather from obligation. So we have a flip-flop here. Do you see it? The tithe in the First Testament was originally a free will gift or pledge of thanksgiving. And it became, over time, all the way to Jesus' time, it evolved into an act of obligation, a ticking of the box. Friends, we are called to give out of thanksgiving, as Jacob did, not out of obligation, as the Pharisee did. And if I am honest with you this morning, I personally am not in a place where I can tell you I completed my pledge card purely motivated by a sentiment of thanksgiving. Don't get me wrong. I want to move to a point of faithfulness where I give for the right reason. But I don't know. Maybe I'm not old enough. Maybe I'm not wise enough. Maybe I'm not strong enough. Maybe I'm not faithful enough. I have my take-home salary from all of you, and I move the decimal point over one place, and I pay my tithe, mostly out of obligation. Sure, I love this ministry deeply, and sure, the work of the church is my vocation, and I have really given my life to it. But truth be told, my motivation to tithe is driven primarily because I feel I ought to, I should. It's the right thing to do, obligation. And not yet by genuine gratitude. And guess what? That's okay. Because I am not perfect. And I am a work in progress. And I am seeking to move in the right direction. And I will continue to as long as God grants me my life. I will tell you that I'm giving more than I used to, even more than I did when I was a missionary. But I am no saint, and I'm trying very hard to move in the right direction. I probably will never completely make it, but I sure as heck will keep trying to move in that direction of giving out of gratitude and thanksgiving. Some of you may not give 10% of your income when you pledge, or even 5%, or even 2%. And guess what? That's okay. That's okay for now. For few of us are saints, and we are not obligated to give a tithe. It's okay for now, because you can and you will move in the right direction with me, together, from 2 to 5 to 10% to possibly, I don't know, maybe not even knowing what percent. And to giving out of thanksgiving rather than obligation. So one question can be this morning on Pledge Sunday. How will Scott know, or how will you know, when we are in the right place spiritually? How will we know? And a possible answer to that question can be when we give without moving the decimal point. That's the litmus test. I haven't reached it yet. But when we give without moving the decimal point, we may be in the right place. When I give more than 10% without even doing a calculation, I and you may be there. I'm not there yet, but I want to be. Friends, if you are able, give without moving the decimal point, and promise to teach me how to be where you are. And if you today are pledging with a decimal point and out of obligation, thank you for joining me. And let's move forward together. And if you are giving much less than a tenth, well, you very well could be far more faithful than the rest of us, because you are giving out of genuine appreciation and not calculating. No matter where we are on life's journey, all of us together will build this church so that it is Bethel, the house of God. And this was the word of God, and it was preached to the people of God, and the people of God responded, Amen.